Welcome to Just a Minute. Hello you, it's Sue Perkins here, and as the Minute Waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to Just a Minute. The panel and myself are here in the renowned BBC Radio Theatre, whilst our audience are joining us remotely from homes all over the UK, and perhaps, who knows, from all over the world. So let's introduce you to the four talented, brilliant people who are playing Just a Minute this week. They're Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock, Deliso Chaponda, and Jan Ravens. Please give them all a massive round of applause. We've decided not to change the format this week, so they'll be speaking on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitation, repetition, or deviation, and we'll see how they all go. Paul, we are going to begin with you, sir. And the subject on the card is the last time I blushed. Can you speak for 60 seconds without repeating, deviating, or hesitating on the last time I blushed, starting now?
It's difficult to remember exactly the last time I blushed. Certainly when I was a child, I seemed to be blushing all the time. That sense of humiliation or embarrassment, or somehow you were in a situation where you didn't feel you were quite good enough. But as you get older, I find certainly in my case, I've blushed less and frequently, not as much as I used to. And I think there's something about the act of blushing, isn't there, where you feel the blood rushing to your cheeks.
Sheila.
Blushing.
Yes, a repetition of blushing.
Oh, yes.
Yes, blushed is on the card.
Absolutely.
Well done. A sharp interruption from Sheila gets you the point. 36 seconds. I'm looking forward to hearing this. The last time I blushed, starting now.
I don't blush a great deal. The last time I blushed probably was during menopause. I've got the age where I'm not ashamed of anything and I don't give a damn, so I very seldom redden in the face, because it seems to me you've got to accept me as I am. Therefore, I'm not going to be shy or timid or frightened. I'm going to go forward with a white face and a bit of makeup.
Deliso, a challenge.
Face.
Yes, it was
face.
A repetition.
Repetition.
Yes.
Face.
Very good, very good.
An astute observation. And particularly good because it's left you with just 12 seconds on the clock. So you got 12 seconds on the subject of the last time I blushed, starting now.
As I am dark-skinned, I stealth blush. Nobody has any idea that I am embarrassed because I change in pigment, but it is invisible.
Well done, Deliso. You were speaking as the whistle went. You get the point. And the next subject with you, Sheila.
Oh.
Yes. It's your turn. The subject is three witches. Three witches. 60 seconds, starting now.
Well, the most famous three witches are in the Scottish play, and it's going to be very difficult for me, because if I quote from the Scottish... There you are, you see, it's unlucky. Even if you call it the Scottish play, it's unlucky.
Paul!
Well, it was unlucky because she repeated the Scottish play, so...
A correct challenge. You get the point. And you've got 51 seconds on that. On the three witches, your time starts now.
I have no superstition about saying the word Macbeth. I'm all right.
Oh, thank goodness. Right.
A severe attack of blushing.
Sheila, you buzzed.
Yes, well, he died. Yes. Hesitation.
But what a death.
Surely that's a very harsh challenge.
If you had actually died, I would still buzz for hesitation. I'm that keen to win.
No, yeah. Well, if I died and you buzzed for hesitation, it'd only be hesitation if I came back to life again.
So, yes, that's a correct challenge, Sheila. And you get the subject back. 48 seconds, starting now.
Another name for the three witches are the Weird Sisters. Now, I've got three daughters who could constantly be called weird. I've repeated the word weird.
Well, thanks to modern medicine, I've been resuscitated. And... repetition of weird.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. It was. Correct challenge, Paul. You've got 38 seconds. Three witches, starting now.
It is in that famous play by Shakespeare that the three witches appear, and the wife of the lead character has this speech: Glamis thou art and Cawdor. And shout.
Hello, that's Sheila buzzed.
I'm sorry, deviation, it's Glams thou art and Gordor, not Glamis. That would upset the iambic pentameter.
Oh, I didn't know that, because I did it for O-level, that's why I know the phrase.
It is spelt Glamis, and one can forgive for perhaps not, although I imagine Paul does appreciate the subtle art of iambic pentameter, I think that's a harsh challenge.
Well, I'm sorry. I think it's a fair challenge.
You would. I'm going to give you, Sheila, a point because, as you say, a Shakespearean actor would say glams, but I think I'm going to keep it with Paul, if that's all the same with you.
Yes.
With 28 seconds remaining, you keep the subject of Three Witches starting now.
And shall be what thou art promised. Yet though I fear thy nature, it is too full of...
Who's buzzed me now? Who's buzzed me now? I'm in the middle of an act there. I'm auditioning for the Royal Shakespeare Company. Who buzzed?
I think, for all of our sakes, Deliso has saved us from... I don't know what was going on.
I was intervening for your career as an actor.
Well, I've already died tonight, so...
You've been very busy tonight.
I was giving it Shakespeare.
Oh, I know.
That was Richard III.
I was going to say it was quite...
Well, Richard I didn't III. Say it was the right play.
Can I just say, I've never, ever seen a subject on which so many people are now protesting. So you're basically saying it was an impression of Richard III.
Yeah.
You're saying that...
It was Gollum.
It was Gollum.
Gollum?
I'm saying his diction was absolutely appalling.
You're listening to BBC Radio 4. Three people shouting at Paul Merton because he said a thing in a way they don't like.
It'll be on feedback this week, you mark my words.
Exactly.
Why can't he say glamis? Deliso, I'm interested to hear what you've got to say about Three Witches. I really am. So I'm going to say whether it was Richard or Gollum or just a very, very, very intense personal moment / crisis for Paul. He no longer has the subject, and you do with 24 seconds remaining, starting now.
The first line that these witches say in the play of which we have been discussing is bubble, repeated word, bubble. Oh.
Very hard. Not you.
Oh. That was so intense.
So
it was so good.
Nearly nothing. Nearly nothing.
Bubble, repeated word, bubble.
My brain.
Do you know what? I'm going to give you a point for that because it's really tickled me. Genuinely, really tickled me, and that's got to be enough. But Jan, you buzzed. What's your challenge?
Well, repetition and hesitation sort of as well, so yeah.
You're entirely correct.
I don't think anyone could disagree with that, really. That's disagree, repeated word, disagree. You've got a subject then. You've got 13 seconds on a subject that we seem to have been discussing for the last 3 hours.
Yes.
It's the Three Witches. Go and kill them off for us, will you?
The Three Witches is actually a pub near Inverness, which I visited when I was on tour up there. They have a very lovely menu. You can get battered cod and chips, scampi in a basket, Marsden's lager.
You were speaking as the whistle went, which means, of course, you get the point. Right, now the next subject we're with you, Deliso, and it is, did you read the terms and conditions? I'm not asking you that, that's what's on the card. Did you read the terms and conditions? Let's find out if you did. Your time starts now.
I worry a great deal about the fact that I do not read terms and conditions, that I will die and end up at the gates of hell and find out that I signed my soul away when I was clicking Apple contracts, because the terms and conditions are so detailed that everybody flips past them. And why would you inundate yourself with such bureaucracy when you were trying to go through your day life without reality?
Buzzed by Sheila, who is...
Oh, dear.
Sheila's finger is on fire.
Oh, no, but I don't want the subject.
Yeah, good luck.
Last thing I want.
Very difficult.
It's a tricky one. Did you read the terms and conditions? You've got 29 seconds on it, starting now.
Did you read the terms and conditions? The answer for me is always no, because they are far too long and complicated to worry about. If I've read them wrongly, I will be at the gates of heaven waiting for the angel Gabriel to tell me what I should have said, rather than...
Sadly, hesitation.
Yes. There was a bit of hesitation there. And this popular topic now is with you. Did you read the terms and conditions? 12 seconds remaining, starting now.
Did you read the terms and conditions is a rather unusual sentence. I would like to portray for you how Richard III would enunciate those words.
Did you read the terms? Buzz me now. I'm auditioning again. Oh. What's happening?
It was hesitation.
No!
Sheila, you have deprived the world of something special.
It was hesitation while you got into character. You went, I'm going to do Richard III.
There was a laugh. One is allowed.
I'm riding the laugh.
Yeah, you're allowed to
and
ride.
And I tell you something, to get a laugh in Richard III isn't easy.
I'm also now trying to think, is Richard III the sort of person who would read the terms and conditions?
No, he would write them. He would write them.
Well, you've got 2 seconds. I'm going to say that was an incorrect challenge by Sheila. I, for one, am looking forward to this career highlight from Paul, who has 2 seconds. Did you read the terms and conditions? Starting now.
Now are the terms and conditions of our discontent.
Richard III was speaking as the whistle went, which means he gets a point. And we move, my lords, to Jan.
Oh, yeah.
Your subject is my first impression. Okay? My first impression. And you've got 60 seconds starting now.
My first impression was of my mum. She had a particular way of talking and sounded not unlike Hyacinth Bouquet. She always was very straight and very hard, and she used to say that people who looked a bit weird would...
Hesitation, sadly.
Yes, sadly so. I was looking forward to hearing.
I know. Well, let's hope I get it back. Let's hope you can hear some of my fabulous mum's catchphrase.
So with 42 seconds remaining, that was a correct challenge, Paul. You've got my first impression starting now.
The first impression I ever did is probably my best one. It's Alec Guinness in Kind Hearts and Coronets playing the part of the old vicar. The view from my west window has all the exuberance of Chaucer, but none of the concomitant crudities of the period. Now, that was something I learnt off a record that Peter Sellers made with Michael Parkinson when he was interviewed in 1972 celebrating 50 years of the British Broadcasting Corporation. And I listened to the recording over and many times to try and get hold of the exact timbre of that marvellous actor that I'd mentioned earlier. There are other impressions that I can do, but nowhere near as good as Jan Ravens here, who has a wide cornucopia. I also do Richard III, but that's...
it's an accent odyssey for you tonight, that's all I'm saying. So, that's the end of the round. I can see from the scores that in third place, it's tight. We've got Jan in second place. We have Sheila and Deliso. And striding out ahead, we have Paul Merton. Oh. So, we're back with you, Paul. Subject on the card, don't look back in anger. Oh, I sense another performance could be underway.
Well, no, not what happened last time.
I'm very open to it. You know that.
I was auditioning. I was treated like rubbish.
Yeah. Well, welcome to my world.
Yes.
Can I just say I'm open to all forms of performance and interpretive dance, although the interpretive dance fares less well on the radio. Can you speak, Paul, for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating on Don't Look Back in Anger, starting now?
John Osborne famously wrote a play in the 1950s called Look Back in Anger, but it was the Oasis, the pop group in the 1990s, who produced a song called Don't Look Back in Anger, and I believe that's a much better piece of advice. If something bad has happened to you in the past, don't let it chew into you. Try and get over it. It mustn't cloud your ambitions. You mustn't think you mustn't...
Yes, Sheila's all over that.
It is.
You know better than that.
A double mustn't.
Absolutely.
Yes. Correct challenge for repetition. Sheila, you get the subject of Don't Look Back in Anger. 37 seconds starting now.
I'm not really a fan of pop music. I'm more classical. But I simply adore Don't Look Back in Anger. It may be because it's sung by the Gallagher boys, who grew up on an estate that my husband John Thor grew.
Yes, Jan.
There was a bit of hesitation.
Yeah. Yes, I think you knew you were going to repeat Gru.
I knew I was going to repeat Gru.
A correct challenge, Jan. Well done. And you get the subject with 22 seconds remaining. Don't Look Back in Anger, starting now.
Don't Look Back in Anger by Noel Gallagher, I am not so keen on, as I think all Noel Gallagher's...
Ah. Paul.
Repetition of Noel.
Yes, and Gallagher.
Yeah.
The full whammy there.
Yeah.
Correct challenge, Paul. Absolutely. You very much get the subject back. Don't Look Back in Anger. You've got 14 seconds starting now.
If you go to the further reaches of the underground system, you'll find yourself saying, don't look back in anger. It is... Sheila, you haven't buzzed me, surely?
Yeah, so it's deviation. That's rubbish.
Well, don't look back in anger.
When you go to the end of the line, you say to yourself, don't look back in anger.
It's one of my hobbies. I amuse myself like that all the time.
I'm saying that staying with Paul. I'm enjoying Don't Look Back in Anger. So you've got 8 seconds, Paul, and the time starts now.
It is one of those incredible anthemic... tune which grabs...
Oh, Deliso, straight in there.
Hesitation?
I'm going to give you that. Yep. There was a little bit of hesitation.
Absolutely.
Very rare with Paul, but you got it. And
a ripple.
You and a ripple of applause from the audience, understandably. You've got 4 seconds, my friend, on this, starting now.
Nelson Mandela illustrated that you should not look back in anger when they had the truth.
Deliso speaking out. The whistle went. Next in this round, Sheila.
Oh.
Why I'm the smartest member of the panel. Okay. You can say glance and everything, so you've got this, baby.
Yes.
You've got it. All right, can you speak on why I'm the smartest member of the panel for 60 seconds, starting now?
The honest reason why I am the smartest member of this panel was because the very first recording I did with Nick, I arrived in jeans and a tatty jumper, and he was wearing a cravat and a blazer and was so angry because it was a broadcast, so I thought it didn't matter what I...
Deliso.
I feel very bad, but repetition of wearing.
Don't feel bad, because those are the rules of just a minute.
But that was interesting.
Yes.
It was. Deliso, absolutely bang on and correct challenge according to the rules of just a minute. There was a repetition. You get 42 seconds on why I'm the smartest member of the panel, starting now.
I am clearly the smartest member on the panel, not because of bookishness.
Paul's gotcha.
Well, he wasn't believing his own words. It was a bit of a hesitation.
Yes. I need more conviction and arrogance.
That'll happen. That'll inevitably, I hope. So, Paul, that was a correct challenge. You've got 37 seconds on why I'm the smartest member of the panel, starting now.
I very much doubt that I am the smartest member of the panel. My educational certificates are pretty poor. I have not even O-level maths. And as you can tell from that last sentence, my English isn't too good either. But I suppose I'm going to embrace the subject and say why I am the smartest member of this panel. You only have to look at the way I dress. I was voted best dressed man of 1764, and I haven't looked back since. My clothes... Buzz me.
Repetition of dressed, best dressed man, and you've only got to look at the way I'm dressed.
Is right, yes.
Yes,
absolutely.
Very good.
You made a correct challenge there, got the point. You've got 13 seconds remaining, starting now.
To continue with my costume theme, as you see, I am wearing elegant earrings and a beautiful satin top. You, however, are wearing a jacket and a white jumper. Jan seems to be wearing a similar outfit.
Jan.
Repetition of wearing.
Indeed. I thought we were taking umbrage at the description.
Yes.
I know.
I think she may well have shown she's the smartest member of the panel. You got 1 second on the subject, starting now.
Why I am the smartest.
Lovely stuff. Deliso, you're up next.
Oh, I am? Okay.
There's a real treat here, I think. Loads of places you can fly to with this subject, which is space travel. Space travel. And your time starts now.
Recently, a number of pompous billionaires have been launching themselves into the atmosphere in rockets and ruining all that is in space. There used to be Twinkle Twinkle Little Star.
Well, it's what's known as the bubble challenge.
Yes.
Yes.
Twinkle,
was saying twinkle repetition.
Twinkle, twinkle, yes, unfortunately, is a very quick repetition.
It was a very quick repetition. Correct challenge. Paul, you've got the subject of space travel with 45 seconds remaining, starting now.
When I was a young boy, around about the age of 5 years old, I used to fantasise that my bed could turn into a spaceship. I would be lying down on the mattress, some kind of perspex bubble would come over the top of me, and I would see the stars twinkling in the distance as I would soar deep into space. I would visit all kinds of planets, Neptune, Saturn, Jupiter, before returning back to Earth via Mercury. Space travel was something that first became very popular in the late 1950s when the Russians put up a couple of cosmonauts. And from then on, the Americans saw that a space race was on. On Radio 4 Extra, there is a magnificent serial called Journey into Space that was recorded in the 1950s.
Beautifully done, Paul. Speaking of whistle, when do you get points? Points, let's go for it. In fourth place, we've got Jan. Third position, Sheila. Second, we've got Deliso. And first, Paul, you're in top spot. Sheila, Penny Dreadful. Can you tell us about Penny Dreadful in the singular, starting now?
Well, funnily enough, I do know a bit about this because I was in the musical Sweeney Todd. What's in fact actually a member of the society that does the Penny Dreadfuls in the old days. They were the Victorian times and they were horror gothic things because there was a bit more money around after the Industrial Revolution and the working classes wanted to read because also they began to have a few lessons. And the things they chose were, like nowadays, people love horror films and things... Yes, I've done that twice.
Deliso.
Repetition of horror.
Yeah. Absolutely correct. A repetition of horror, which means you get a point for a correct challenge. And you also get the subject of Penny Dreadful with 27 seconds remaining, starting now.
I rarely read literature. I love Penny Dreadful's books about blood and gore and death. That is what entertains me as I am trying to drift to sleep. Terrify me. Give me nightmares. That is the way that I gain my joy as I read. My favorite Penny Dreadful was the one about the man with the hook who would come in late at night and gut.
And on that terrifying cliffhanger, Deliso was speaking as the whistle went, gets the point. And we're about to enter the final round. Lovely Jan.
Yes.
Can you start us off on your subject and hopefully finish us off as well?
Yeah.
Who knows? Sakura season.
What?
What?
Well, we're about to find out. Sakura season. What can you tell us and enlighten us about on that subject? Sakura season, 60 seconds starting now.
I happen to know about Sakura season because I used to travel to Japan with my husband, and Sakura season is when the cherry blossoms come out, and it is a very short window where the...
Cool.
Oh, the window was very short. It was a hesitation, sadly, but I'm looking forward to what I've got to say about this.
Yeah. I am too, and that's why I'm giving you the subject with 47 glorious seconds remaining.
How many?
47.
Wonderful.
Fill them up on Sakura season, starting now.
The first time I went to Japan with my husband, I was absolutely amazed by the Sakura season, which is when the cherry blossom comes along. It's a very short window in which you can experience the Sakura season, but it was there. The aromas filled the air and my nostrils. I wandered down this very small street with plants either side of me, and I could sense that this magnificent aroma was infusing my very soul and body. The Sakura.
Deliso, a challenge.
Repetition of aroma.
Aroma is correct. There was a repetition, as there would be in Sakura season.
Oh, yeah. No, I don't want this subject.
I just embrace our Japanese listeners and say we all want to hear about Sakura season. It's beautiful. Why wouldn't you? And I know you're going to absolutely smash this remaining 21 seconds. So it's with you. And your time, Deliso, starts now.
If Vivaldi was Japanese, he would have written 5 seasons.
The may have caused you some gloom there. Paul.
Yes, it was, sadly, hesitation.
Yes. So, Paul, you're going to love this. You've got 17 seconds.
Oh.
17 wonderful seconds to transport us to the cherry blossom season in Japan. I love the fact that the only person who knows anything about this
can't get back into it. Come on, Jan.
And she's given us all the information, which I can't now repeat.
17 seconds, Paul, starting now.
When people say to me, how much do you really know about the Sakura season? I can look them firmly in the eye and I say, all the information that I know about this magnificent...
Jan is... keen to get involved.
Repetition of no.
Yes, there was a repetition.
Oh, yes.
No, there was.
Yes.
Have I done it again? Have I snuck in with...
Well, I mean, it's not your usual cold calculating 1 second. You've got 7 seconds. Everyone's okay. Going to really pay attention now. The leading expert on the Sakura season has the subject back. 7 seconds starting now.
The short nature of Sakura...
Paul, is it?
The repetition of short. We had short window.
Yes, yeah. Indeed we did. He's absolutely right. Correct challenge, Paul. You have 4 seconds on your favourite topic, Sakura season, starting now.
Oh,
Sheila.
Not hesitation, surely.
Yes.
For the sheer sort of ready-fingeredness.
Well, you have to have higher standards for Paul. He's so good at the game. He's been doing it for bloody years.
He must be held to high standards, but nonetheless it remains with him.
There's no need to swear. There are men present.
Paul keeps the subject because he, more than any of us, knows about Sakura season. And you have 3 seconds, Paul, starting now.
If I was to begin to tell you what I know about Sakura season, I would need more than 3 seconds. Well, there we are. That's how much bluff can get you through.
Who dreams up these subjects, Sakura season?
The Japanese Tourist Board.
Well done, all. Well, sadly, as mentioned, that is the end of the round and the end of the show, which means it's score time. It's a close-run thing. In fourth place, Jan. Third place, Deliso. In second place, we've got Sheila and her magnificent trigger finger. But in first place, please give a round of applause for today's winner, Paul Merton.
Woohoo!
Lovelies, I'm afraid we have to leave you. But first of all, thanks to all of our players, irrespective of where they came. It's not about the winning, of course. Paul Merton, Sheila Hancock, Delisa Shaponda, and Jan Rayburn. We are, of course, indebted to Ian Messiter, who devised this magnificent show. And it goes without saying to Nicholas Parsons, too, for chairing Just a Minute for over 50 years. We also thank Caroline Barlow for blowing her whistle so beautifully. The producer was the incredible Hayley Sterling, and it was a BBC Studios production. This is Sue Perkins saying thank you so much for listening, and do join us again when we next play Just a Minute.